striving to always trust in God in everything. And, you know, in our daily lives, we are in need of this. It's a thing that we go through trials, we go through big trials and small trials, and I actually, when looking at this topic, I was reminded of a message from last year that I did, and it was called Standing Through Trials. And it was a time where in last year there was just a lot of pressure at work, and just like actually tired. I realized now when I read this, then I realized, okay, I was probably needing rest. At the time, we were planning to build a house. And so all those things added together, and it was just a lot. And the word then was just that Ephesians 6 that says that we need to stand, put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the attacks of the enemy. And I realize now when I look back at it is, in those times when you need to stand and you really need to just push through, what you're really looking for is that rest. You're looking for that break where you can stop having to stand and having to be strong. But praise God, He gives us that rest at some point or another, but His grace is sufficient for us. And I just want to look at that this morning. Yeah, so the one thing I realized was that we cannot, and if I try and figure out, especially when we're going through things, it's actually just, we just need to believe. We need to believe God. And often I caught myself again now in preparing for this that, you know, I try to sort of figure out how does God work and how do we do this? And where the reality is, sometimes we must just believe and we must just hold on, and until he comes through and he gives you that rest, and you can feel there's a release. I'm associated in our building. We've come a far way with this house, and the end is coming nearer in sight. I can start to see the light in the distance. So, and it's that process where it's not really a trial. It's a massive blessing. But, yeah, if you're familiar with building, it's something you don't wish on your enemy sometimes. But it's in the same breath, it's a massive blessing. Yeah, we've had, fortunately, we haven't had any big crises or anything. It's just generally me being a novice at building and knowing nothing about it, that it's actually a bit scary, and you know, you don't know what to expect and so on. And yeah, you get misunderstandings and miscommunications and delays and weather and your fair amount of problem solving that you have to do with your builder or project manager. All good, we'll get there in the end. So I'm now at that place where I feel, okay, I can start to breathe. I can start to relax. I actually can see that we'll be able to have a house one day, soonish. So yeah, thank you. We look forward to that. And so The next slide says, it's a quote that Theon Scott used, or he said it. He said, "Being with Jesus is an invitation of grace into rest." And I mean, we know that Jesus actually is basically the personification of grace, right? I mean, God sent Jesus to be grace for us when he came to die for us on the cross. And so certainly he invites us to grace when we come to him. And like he said, we need to be with Jesus. One of the most important things for us is to actually just spend time at Jesus' feet as often as we can, to put our trust in him. Mariette gave a beautiful picture this morning in prayer about just how that we, the picture of the church and water flowing out of the church, but the water is rising. Hopefully it wasn't Shofar Paul, a repeat of earlier the year, but it was a spiritual, just a vision of the how that when we lose control and we need to become comfortable with not being afraid when we're not in control, and God comes in and we need to just trust him and we need to believe him and we need to believe Jesus, so that when there's nothing else we can do in our own strength, that we are okay with just trusting in Jesus. So a beautiful picture. You'll see I have a few pictures on there that is just serene and beautiful. But for me, I mean, I don't need to really explain much about rest this morning, because we know what rest is. We all know that rest is good. You know, it's beautiful. For me, rest is very beautiful. And it's precious. But it's also, it's peace. In rest, we find peace and joy and all that is good. You know, you have a beauty sleep and you beautiful after that. So it's definitely beautiful. Some people at least. But yeah, I feel like we need more of this in our lives as Christians. That we, yeah, maybe sometimes we're so serious about even just following God and doing things for God. Or maybe we're just trying to be, you know, in charge of our lives and do things. But I think the beauty of us as Christians that we can show the world is really that peace that we have. We're not confused. We don't have to wonder about life, about truth. God has given it to us. So yeah, that's just my heart this morning is, yeah, can we have more of that that beautiful rest in our lives, and to carry it with us, like on a daily basis. Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of that, and I think just generally in life, busyness of life, and all of us have a lot of things that we need to plan for and organize and often we allow that to rob us of our peace and actually just the blessing of that we can be to other people. So yeah, I want to trust for that this morning. It made me think of Hebrews, but we'll get there just now, entering into his rest. So yeah, it's the daily rest, but of course also we know the eternal rest that we have in Jesus. we will receive one day when we leave this life. Tian spoke about leaving room for God in our lives, and the story of Mary and Martha, and how that in Luke 10:41, how that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha was busy working, and she was kind of upset with Mary. And we all know how it goes. And then she asked Jesus, but aren't you, concerned that Mary isn't helping me? And then Jesus said, but Mary chose the better portion, and that she will, it will not be taken away from her. But yeah, how often and how difficult it is for us to actually just get into that rest. And now it's actually a thing that we need to contend for, we need to fight for, is actually to be trusting, to be able to just, to go into rest, into God's rest. I mean, it's not as if we can just sit around and do nothing, and that's not what God expects of us as well. But yes, we shouldn't live in fear and worry. So yeah, let's look at Hebrews 4, and the main message in Hebrews 4 is that we should enter God's rest. So I'm going to read, and I'm going to read from verse 1 up to, I think, verse 16. So you can follow with me. It will be on the screen as well. So before this chapter started, in Hebrews 3, it speaks of the Israelites and how that they were meant to enter the promised land, which is the rest that God promised them. Now in chapter 4 it says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest." Okay, so we see here that there's still a rest, a promise of rest, and we think Paul is the writer of the author of Hebrews. So I'll just refer to him as Paul, but Paul said there's still a rest, and this was long after the Israelites, and the Israelites didn't have the faith to initially accept and believe God that they can enter into the promised land. And then that verse 3 speaks of that we believed, for we who have believed enter that rest. It's like it's a funny tense. It's like a present continuous tense saying that we have believed into that rest, and so it's kind of saying that we are actively entering his rest. So if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have already entered into that rest, that eternal rest, but we actively live out that entering his rest. As long as we're on this earth, we need to enter into it. And this is just a foretaste of the full rest that we will have one day. Okay, so verse 4 to 5, it says that, "For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Okay, so it's again speaking of the Israelites. And yeah, just basically, for me that stands out is the Sabbath rest that God on the seventh day rested. And so clearly rest is important to God. Okay, so it's just for me, valuable to see that the Sabbath day was a holy day. It's obviously, it's holy because it's the day where we worship God. Today is Sunday, a Sabbath, we still celebrate Sabbath in that sense, but yeah, it's important for us because we can gather on a Sabbath day, we can fellowship, and it's sort of irrelevant which day it is, but the fact is that God wants us to have a day in where we can worship Him and where we can pray to Him and gather like this. So it's important, and that's a place of rest. Also from the Ten Commandments. So verse 6 carries on and says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, so this was in the Psalms, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Okay, so the key for us, of course, then is actually saying every day we can enter into his rest. Because today, and not just on a Sabbath or on a Sunday, every day we can enter into the rest. So we know it's in Jesus, because of Jesus. But then also it speaks of not hardening our hearts. So yeah, really for us to be humble is a key to finding rest with God. So why did the Israelites fail? It said they failed to enter his rest. So if you now go look back at the Old Testament in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, there's a couple of things. I'll just refer to them quickly. So unbelief, disobedience, complaining, they were drawn towards fleshly things more than the things of the Spirit. That's of course, they were complaining about the manna that they had any manna to eat. And God said that they do not know me. So they weren't really interested in God. They just wanted their own way. And sin in general, it says. So the unbelief, we know that the Israelites complained that they actually asked Aaron and Moses, is the Lord actually with us? And they didn't believe God is actually with them. They were also disobedient with just the first time believing that they can enter, and they refused to enter Canaan, the promised land, of course. And then Moses, where he, the second time, where he wanted to get water out of the rock, and then God said, speak to the rock, and he struck the rock twice. So God said to him, you will not enter my rest. You will not go into the promised land because he was actually disobedient. He didn't do it the way God wanted him to. And there's also a lesson in that, because Moses, in a sense, just wanted to do it his own way. And he knew the first time the rock listened to the stick. And the second time he thought, okay, I'm just going to do this again. And God is actually wanted him to see, but it's not your way, it's my way. And trust in me, not in the stick or in anything else. So and then in verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains the Sabbath rest for the people of God. Whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Joshua, because Joshua got the promise initially, and God said to him that he will give the Israelites rest from, you know, they came from Egypt, they were slaves, and they were in the desert, and then he said he will give them rest in the promised land. And eventually he did. So when they came into the promised land, so that at one point it says how that there was peace with all the nations around them. There wasn't anyone who was at war with them after they went through Jericho and fought off a couple of nations. But of course Jesus gives a different rest, a better rest. And it wasn't actually, so there was still, that wasn't the complete rest that God, that was a physical rest. And here it's referring to that Jesus is actually that spiritual rest, and it's referring to salvation as well. To rest from work, it says there that as God has rested, God's rest has also rested from his work, and God did, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. And so just a note on that, on our salvation, is how that this part is actually now referring to our salvation and Jesus, and none of our works can, we can't receive salvation through any works. We know that that our salvation is by grace through faith and not through our works. Okay, so verse 11 then says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. And it's kind of like you want this rest to just be easy, but it's not, because it's saying we have to strive, and other translations says we have to labor for entering into that rest. And isn't it kind of like the last thing you feel like when you want rest, and now you have to work for it? But we know that, of course, the rest that he gives, that Jesus gives us, is far better. And it's a different kind of a rest. It surpasses all understanding, that peace. And so here it says that striving, so it's kind of for us also, just in our daily lives, how that we can become comfortable and just, you know, become used to living our lives and doing things the way we do things, and not really applying our faith, and not really trusting God, to rely on Him, trust in Him. Moses, trust in God, not yourself. And actually really contend for faith, contend for entering into rest. And it's just this thing, it's this beautiful thing of where we are relaxed. We know that we do not need to fear, like the word of the waters rising, and things are sometimes out of our control, but we can still be just calm and apply our faith, believe that Jesus is all we need. He will bring us through it. So rest comes from trusting in Him, striving to enter that rest. It's where we trust Him instead of ourselves. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." So, yeah, the question here is, am I actually in a place? It's almost like the word is, you know, the word is like that mirror that we hold up and testing, and the word discerns, the word comes and checks our hearts. Are we actually in rest with Christ? Are we actually believing him? Yeah, abiding in him and resting in him instead of otherwise. So just a few sort of tests or questions we can ask ourselves, maybe are we craving for the things of the world or the things of God? Like, are we kingdom orientated? Are we more materialistic or things orientated, worldly orientated? And I think why I say that is that when we enter faith, we change our perspective from the things that we want to relational kingdom things. And as something Tian also said, is what are you craving? Are you like, do you want to be like loving people, or do you want to be around people or spend time in God's word, or you know, come to church? And those kind of things are signs. And as we then read our word and have a quiet time, and the word also then comes and convicts us and says, but you know, you're not come closer, you must draw near to me, and we can see if we actually in that place of resting in God or not. And then the last verse is 14 on, says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And we have a compassionate high priest. And I feel like, you know, the Lord is really compassionate towards your situation, what situation you may be in, where you are finding yourself, and God's a personal God. He knows what you are going through, and he wants to help you. It says there that his throne is a throne of grace and mercy. And I think the last time when I did the message of standing in faith, I was kind of, I don't know, it was something that now when I look back, I realized like that struggle with how do I access that in a trial practically. God, how are you going to help me now? How is this going to work out? It is something that's like God's small voice just telling me, you know that I hear your prayers. You know that I'm interested when you pray. And that just that quiet knowing that the Holy Spirit is listening when you're praying. He's here, he's with you. And often or sometimes when you're in a difficult place, it might not feel like that. But how good it is that the Bible says, draw near to him. confidently and rely on His grace and His rest. Holding fast, striving to be with Him. Okay, so I have a little, almost just like a summary there. What it is that Hebrews 4, just kind of in short, speaks of about rest and entering His rest. So, yeah, that labor, verse 11, that speaks about labor to enter His rest, that just stood out for me. That, yeah, we need to really contend for faith. Contend, believe that, and be drawing near to Jesus all the time so that we can get that rest. So, to enter on the left is, we need to believe Jesus. We need soft hearts, not hardened hearts. And really, I think that humility is, that's really, we know that the Bible says that we need to humble ourselves and draw near to Him. That's, I think, a good starting point. It spoke about work, so to rest you have to actually work for it. Like I said, you have to labor for entering into that rest. You need to draw near to Him. So make time, get into that quiet place. And then you have to receive the end at the throne room of grace. It says that we have to receive. And I think that mercy and grace for me speaks of rest, really. That's where He gives us rest. It's actually God helping us. It's actually God saying that this life can be so much easier if we don't try and do it all ourselves and we allow Him to help us. Okay, and then how not to do it, of course, as someone said, they exit His rest, is unbelief, like the Israelites. They were disobedient, complaining, just focused on the stuff, the food that they didn't have, and worldly things, and sin in general. And then it also spoke about different types of rest. It kind of spoke about the Canaan rest, the salvation rest, and the Sabbath rest. Whereas Canaan rest, of course, was more for the Israelites, more for the Old Testament. But I think what we can take out of that is also how that God's promised land, and when He gives us a promise, like He did for the Israelites, we can rest in that He will fulfill it. So it's for me almost like, I think sometimes we worry that we miss it, and that we, we're not going to like make the mark and fulfill the purposes that God had for our lives. And yeah, for me it was just kind of God encouraging us today and saying that when we believe in Him and rest in Him, we will not miss it. We will achieve the promises that He has for us. And then salvation rests in Jesus. That abundant spiritual life that we have, that is what our soul thirsts for. And John 7:38, that says, whoever believes in Me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So it's really that Jesus is for us the satisfaction for our soul, for our spirit. And then it's the Sabbath rest. It's really also just trusting God that we can rest from our work. We can rest, and even when things aren't done and things aren't finished, trust God that things will work out just practically as well. And I just have a couple of verses, just random verses about sort of referring to rest. So physical rest, Mark 6:31, Jesus said, then because, so Jesus was speaking, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So, yeah, just sometimes we just need to actually get sleep or have a picnic or something. Then Psalm 23, so well known. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Yeah, that's a beautiful picture of rest. And he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Maybe physical rest, but also just peace of mind, peace for the soul. Just like I can do with that, lying next to a stream. And in a field, just that, yeah, relaxing. Then Psalm 37. So it speaks about waiting on God. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's also sort of a form of rest. Just being at peace, just waiting. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. We can just be still, we can just rest in knowing that. It's sort of like trusting Him as a place of rest. Isaiah 26 verse 3 also says, you keep Him in perfect peace, His mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Yeah, and I think God wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy rest, and it's He blesses us with that. That's His heart for us. So, and here's a little summary of rest being a result of. So, humble heart, at first didn't have, and then afterwards, when I was trying to feel like I wasn't getting rest, because I didn't feel like I can figure this out, this rest thing. And then, I don't know, something like the Lord just said to me, maybe just humble, come to me humbly and just rest and trust in Him, and also to be humble, then we can get rest. When we believe in Him, when we trust in Him, knowing Him leads to rest, being known by Him. So it's just like telling God, telling Jesus all that you're going through, worshipping Him gives us rest, yielding to Him, just allowing Him His way and obeying Him. So there's still work in rest, but it's when we do things His way, when we follow His path, then we actually have peace. And loving Him, when we love Him, we find rest. Yeah, so again, beauty, rest is beautiful. It's goodness, it's joy, it's peace. And I want us to encourage to be changed by His rest. Like we said, let him have room in our lives. Give Him room. Don't strive so hard that there's no room for him to show that beauty of trusting in him, allowing him to show himself in our lives. So, closing with Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. So, I wrote here, whether you have reached your breakthrough yet, or if you are still waiting, know that Jesus already offers you the greatest rest of all, and that's the salvation rest for your soul. That's the one consistent rest that we can have, if nothing else. If we don't have that fulfillment yet in purpose, and we haven't got all our work done and satisfaction of seeing him come through for us in our lives, then the one thing we do have is entering, being with him, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he has already secured the eternal rest for you with him. So with confidence, let us draw near to his throne of grace and receive mercy. Also in your time of need, draw near to the Lord.